Now, look, Lee, I'll be the first to say it. The guy is slippery. He wants to be great. He knows what's going on inside the walls of One Buck Place. I think those six egg rolls might have done the trick. Absolute garbage.
Oh, it's going to be a fun podcast today. Our thanks to Big Storm Beer, the official beer of the Ira Kaufman podcast, bigstormbrewery.com to find the beer closest to you and their fantastic tap rooms and menus. And our thanks to Florida's Elite Restoration, floridaselite-restoration.com. Go there, learn about all their services. They are licensed mold remediation specialists and your first call in the Bay Area. If you have any kind of disaster in your home, fire, flood, Florida's Elite Restoration, and the presenter of all of Ira's work at joebucksfan.com, Bill Curry Ford, Tampa's first family of Ford. They've got a 50% off sale going on right now on select used inventory, BillCurryFord.com. They've got 40-something vehicles I'm looking at here between $10,000 and $20,000. Great pricing. GM Sean Sullivan is ready to help you right now. BillCurryFord.com. Yeah, yeah, yeah. All right, Bucks fans, 88 days from the preseason kickoff here on the Ira Kaufman podcast, starring the one and only sage of Tampa Bay sports, the Baron of Big Storm Beer, Mr. Bill Curry Ford himself, the King of Pasco County, unbelievable Uncle Ira, the custodian of Canton, Ira Kaufman, presented by Bill Curry Ford, Tampa's very first family of Ford. That means they're family owned. That means 61 years, a mile north of Raymond James Stadium. And Bill Curry Ford, GM, Sean Sullivan, is ready to take care of you, period. Personally, Ira Kaufman discount, whatever it is, you can call him like he's your brother, a brother that you like, and he's going to help you out. Or you can walk in, you can email him, BillCurryFord.com. That's where you find Sean Sullivan, and that's where you find all the great offers and transparent pricing. Ira, we're fired up. We got a lot to talk about today. Episode one of this week. How are you?
I am curious, gentlemen, curious. And for those that are in my age group, they might remember there was a movie called I Am Curious Yellow. It was kind of an X-rated movie in its time, maybe late 60s, early 70s. But I am not curious yellow. I'm curious when practice occurs at One Buck Place over the next couple of weeks. I'm curious to see who the heck shows up. It seems like we got a major issue with the NFL Players Association. Other people are supporting it. Tom Brady's weighed in. I'm not sure the veterans are going to show up, guys. It might be an accentuated rookie mini camp. And speaking of that, I'll kick this podcast off in style. Lee, don't you sleep better at night knowing, just like Buck fans do, that Kyle Trask was, quote, fantastic during the rookie minicamp? I mean, I went around the league, Lee. I didn't see one coach that said, our rookies didn't look too good. I mean, let's not read too much into this, Mr. DeKemper. Not too much.
Toward the end of practice, I saw, it looked like Kyle Trask thought that he was still throwing it to Kyle Pitts. Is that his name? Because everything was being overthrown. Now, I got to be fair. The guys he was throwing to, he didn't even know their names until the day before. Never met them, much less throw a pass to them. All of a sudden, he's asked to go out and throw crisp passes to guys who, for all we know, were running lousy routes. I can't tell anything from this stuff. All but five of them will be working at UPS stores in a couple weeks. I can't rag on the kid. I can't praise him either. I'll defer to the coaches. But this stuff about, oh, he looks sharp, not what I call sharp, but maybe I have different standards. I don't know. Streeter, wide receiver from Miami, came with the Bucks. He had a cup of coffee with the Ravens. He was with the Bucks in underwear football. He looked like an all-star. Once they put the pads on, he was garbage. Kenny Bell looked like an absolute steal in underwear football. They put the pads on. He was at best a practice squad player. I've learned the hard way not to take these things seriously.
That's the point. But, Steve, Buck fans are so hungry. They're so hungry. They're so into their team, and why shouldn't they be? They're dying to find out, hey, can a rookie contribute now? Steve, it goes without saying. If you're expecting something from Kyle Trask in the fall of 2021, the Bucs are in trouble. You don't want Kyle Trask to smell the football field in 2021. You'll see him in the preseason. Steve will be able to tell a little bit more, just a little. But in terms of what coaches are saying about rookies in May, Steve, you throw it out. You don't pay any attention to it.
Well, Ira, I will counter that by saying we're going to see a lot more because we haven't seen anything. So, I mean, there are plenty of guys who've won jobs in preseason. He's not going to win the starting job, but he might win the backup job if he really can light it up. And we know Brady's not going to play that much in the preseason, so it'll at least make that a little bit more fun. So we will get to see quite a bit. But nobody cares too much about that now, Ira, just because, like Lee said, it's just not real. Whether the players show up for these veteran OTA days, that will be very interesting. You know, around the league, you see 70% have shown up. Other teams still say they're not going to show up. And, you know, but all those answers will be coming in the next week or so. I don't think it's a big deal for the Bucs. But I thought Arian sort of let his guard down a little bit. Ira, at rookie minicamp during one of his news conferences, he basically said, oh, you know, I kind of want the starters to stay away until June. Sort of like him saying, hey, take some more rest. He did talk about having a tough as hell, crack your ass kind of training camp. But, you know, we know that wasn't going to happen in the spring. But it's an interesting mindset for the coach to tell guys to stay away till June, but through a news conference.
I think we already know the answer, Lee. And I think you had code from the head coach. You've got explicit remarks from the unquestioned leader. On-field leader of this team and Tom Brady. Lee, I would be surprised at this point, maybe you would be too, if you're going to see too many veterans, if any at all. And they are voluntary, Lee. Voluntary is the word. Now, this is not 2002 when Brooks and Sapp and Lynch and Barber and Simeon Rice and Allstott said, you got to show up. OTAs. That's what we do. Times have changed, Lee. It's 20 years later. And if your quarterback and your head coach are basically lukewarm on veterans reporting for voluntary workouts, why should they show up, Lee? Why?
Well, I remember a couple weeks ago at Arian's soiree, Mike Evans was asked, when are you going to work out with Brady? And he said, we're just waiting on the call. So I know Brady supposedly talked to the NFLPA and gave this emotional, don't you back down, don't you show up for workouts. Do you think any Bucs offensive player, specifically a skill player, if Brady calls them and says, we're working out next week, Monday all week, meet me at Berkeley Prep at 10 a.m., you don't think they're not there? They're there.
They're there. Lee, Brady's recovering from a procedure. Brady's recovering.
A procedure. At the present time, I think that's a little overblown, this procedure. He said it was major. I'm not a doctor. I sure didn't see him limp at all last year. I sure saw him play superior football. And when he was holding up the Lombardi Trophy on the stage, broadcast on CBS, if you would have told me he's got a bum knee, I would have said you're lying. There was no evidence he was hurt at all. Initially, the Bucs said it was just kind of minor stuff. Now he's saying it's major. And, oh, by the way, I'll start throwing next week. What? In 3 months, you had major surgery and you're throwing? I never heard that before. So I'm a little dubious about this. I am not a doctor. I haven't seen his test results, but I'm a little dubious about that.
Sage, let me say, just to clarify, Sage, Brady spoke on a podcast about watches. You know, he's got some sort of watch deal going on. And what he said was, is that it was a pretty serious, that's the quote, pretty serious knee surgery. Now, what that means, does that mean major? Does that just mean Brady thinks it's pretty serious when somebody else might not? I don't know. I don't even think it's even that special because so many guys across the league play with injuries and then get some sort of cleanup work after the season or some sort of maintenance kind of thing. Old guys, young guys. So I just don't buy it. He didn't miss time. And he surely didn't play poorly. So how much was it really affecting him? I don't know. But so many guys, there's got to be at least a dozen on every team that are dealing with issues that they sort of get fixed after the season. So it's really not that weird.
I think you're right, Steve. I think you're absolutely right. I think it was more of a cleanup procedure. I don't know. Maybe Brady's looking for sympathy from the front four of the Dallas Cowboys, which isn't very good, by the way. Their defense stinks. And they finally wised up and drafted defense for week one. But that's going to be their first game together, and it's going to take a while. So, Steve, I'm with you. I think it was more of a cleanup procedure, and I would not take Brady's characterization literally.
You were mentioning how when Brooks and Sapp and those guys were around, and you showed up at voluntary OTAs. That was just expected. To this day, some 18 years later, to this day, Sapp is still peeved at Keyshawn Johnson for blowing off OTAs.
That's absolutely right. And that started the rift between Sapp and Johnson. because a couple of years before that, Johnson went over to Sapp during the Pro Bowl and said, hey, you guys got a hellacious defense. You need a little more juice on offense. Can you get me to Tampa? Of course, he was on the Jets at the time. And Sapp went to bat for Johnson, talked to Dungy, talked to McKay. They worked out a deal, and the Bucs gave up, substantial capital to bring in Keyshawn Johnson. And then, as Lee said, the subsequent OTAs, Johnson doesn't show. Sapp calls. Where are you, man? I'm in L.A. I'm doing real estate deals. I got business. That was the beginning of the end between Sapp and Johnson.
Speaking of real estate deals, Ira, Ndamukong Suh is actually involved in this sort of fascinating real estate deal in Portland, Oregon. It's so bizarre. I'll tell you more about it later, but it's really unique. If anybody wants to Google it, it's not really for the podcast, but it's like building housing for young black professionals in engineering and other industries like that, construction, where they have to live there for 3 years. And it's like a 300 square foot studio that you get, and you work for certain companies. It's just really bizarre. Anybody should Google it if they're interested in that kind of stuff. But Ira, I got to read a quote to you, and I want your reaction. Are you ready?
Ready, baby.
All right. This year, if I ain't DPOY, Defensive Player of the Year, they out against me. They got something against me, because I'm going to leave no doubt in anybody's mind. Like, I'm going to leave no doubt this year. I'm doing everything possible, man. Picks, tackles for loss, sacks. I want the sack record. I want to be DPOY. You know the all-decade team? I want to be the 2020 all-decade team. I want everything, man. I want to win another Super Bowl. I'm so hungry now, man. I want to keep proving the people who believe in me right, but also the people who doubted me. I want to make them wrong. That's Shaq Barrett the other day, Ira. What is your take on that?
Well, I don't mind the guy aiming high, Lee. I don't mind it. But somebody ought to tell Shaq Barrett that 8 sacks ain't going to get you DPOY. So I want to see 14 or 15. Mr. Barrett. Now, look, Lee, I'll be the first to say it. He was a monster in the Super Bowl. He was a monster. But he was going up against garbage. Absolute garbage. And so was JPP on the other side. They had a field day. It's also worth pointing out, there were 4 or 5 weeks in the middle to the late in the season where we didn't see Shaq Barrett, Lee. We didn't see him. You can blame it on Vita Vea's absence. You can say this. You can say that. He was healthy. And the linebacker was going up the middle and getting 9 sacks. And that's got to help Shaq Barrett. But the fact is, he went AWOL for a month. So before he starts thinking about DPOY, he's got to show up every week. He's a very good player. But he wasn't great last year, Lee. He was not great, and let's see if he can be great this fall.
You're going to be hard-pressed, Ivor, to get me to speak ill of any of the Bucs players last year. They won a Super Bowl, and compared to what the fans had to watch the previous decade, I'm in no position to whine about a guy, he only got 8 sacks or whatever. No. I hear sometimes fans will try to minimize a player's in players' seats. Oh, look who he went against, or, you know, something like that. And my reaction always is, what's he supposed to lay down? Okay, so the guy across the line of scrimmage is garbage. Is he supposed to lay down from him? No, you take advantage of that. And there's a great story for you, Ira. A buddy of mine got as far as AAA with Seattle. He was a catcher. Right. And one year, Cleveland Gary, you remember Cleveland Gary running back with the Rams?
Yeah.
He decided he was going to have a contract holdout, and he was going to try to use baseball as a leverage. I guess he's a high school baseball player at one time. So he shows up at Seattle's spring training camp, take a few swings at bat. His agent worked it out. He had some buddy with Seattle. And so the Mariners let him do batting practice, and the guy's striking out right and left. He can't make any contact. And at one point, the dude just slams the bat down on the plate, starts cussing out the pitch for throwing him curveballs. And the pitcher said, look it, man. If I try out for the Rams, are their linebackers going to lay down for me?
Lee, good story. Let's remember, Jack Barrett has had one elite NFL season. One. And the Bucs showed him. The Bucs showed him the money, Steve. And let's see if he plays up to his contract. If he does, the Bucs are going to have one hell of a season.
Well, Ira, let me throw a few curveballs at you. First of all, I think you're really overreacting on the Chiefs. They allowed, I looked it up while you were talking here, 22 sacks all year. Shaq comes in and JPP and the Bucs, they ravage them. This isn't a team that takes a lot of sacks. And it's not like you would say Mahomes was running for his life all year. I understand the injuries and the changes, but I don't think it's fair to say that they're awful. And Shaq did have, forget about the Super Bowl, he had 3 sacks in Green Bay. If you add up his sack total for the year, 12 sacks and a Super Bowl ring, a lot of people would consider that a great season.
12 sacks in 20 games, Steve. 20 games, not 16.
He came up big in the biggest stages.
He did. You know, anytime you talk about Shaq Barrett, guys, I always think the one-word description that Bruce Arians uses, and he used it to me at his house when we started talking about Barrett. Yeah, I think it's a tremendous word, and the word is slippery. The guy is slippery, and you can take that as a positive or a negative. If you're a Buck fan, it's a hell of a positive, because I'm telling you, coming around that corner, ever since he became a Buccaneer, he's got that knack. He's got that knack, that angle, that low angle, and especially in 2019. Look, I got a lot of confidence in Shaq Barrett. He wants to be great.
Sure.
And to me, and that's half the battle.
Ira, you've been known as slippery around the Golden Corral buffet. Can you give us your secret?
Well, better is slippery at that than this X-rated movie he was talking about when he thinks of the Buck.
You start out with 2 plates. Right away, you got 2 plates. You got one under the other. You sneak that a second one in under the other. Nobody sees it. And then that slab of roast beef goes very nicely onto that second plate.
How's the diet going, Ira? What's the number?
9, baby. 9 with a bullet.
I think we were at 9 last podcast, so I guess you're in a holding pattern, but that's good. That's good, Ira.
Well, you know, I had sushi and sashimi. I didn't think that would hurt me, but I think those 6 egg rolls might have done the trick.
All right, Ira. Well, when you have 6 egg rolls, my first thought goes to washing it down with Big Storm Beer, which is Florida's very best craft beer. Big Storm Beer. It's in the stores. It's at great establishments all over town. Lee's thrown back a couple at Hooters. And, of course, Big Storm has its tap rooms in Odessa, Clearwater, the flagship location with live music Fridays and Saturdays and sometimes on Sundays. Beautiful outdoor covered patio. They are in Orlando at the Amway Center. They're in Cape Coral. Our good friend Tom Lang from the Scuttlebucks podcast loved it down there in Cape Coral at the new location. And, of course, they're coming eventually to Ybor City, hopefully before the end of football season. That would be nice. But Ira, Big Storm Beer, you know what to do. BigStormBrewery.com. You can look for your beers, look at all the beers, punch in your zip code. You got any more beer in the fridge, Ira, or is it all gone?
All gone, baby. You know, they're really making a name for themselves, Steve. They're really making a name for themselves. I told that story last month. We went to a local restaurant. You know, the waitress said, you want a beer? And I said, yeah. And next thing you know, they're putting a Big Storm brew in front of me. It's fantastic. The legend of Big Storm is growing. Their locations are growing. You know, Lee and I, we've been known to have lunch at the Odessa spot. Big Storm, you better get in early because this place, the reputation is growing. We always have a good time over there.
Sage, you know that I personally look at Rondé Barber as the best Bucks insider out there because he's tight with Jason Light. He's tight with all the guys, and he just seems to speak the truth, really. He really doesn't sugarcoat much. He doesn't talk very often, but he also works for Buccaneers.com, and we know that they've run players past him in the pre-draft process to take a look at. So I look at him very much as an insider, Ira, and he was on CBS on his brother's radio show, and he was asked about Arians retiring, packing it in. And of course, you know, Arians used to babysit the Barber twins, and his dad played college ball with Arians. So, I mean, they're all tight and he knows what's going on. And Rondé Barber basically said he'll go until his assistants go because he likes being a CEO style head coach. He loves talking to the players. This role that Arians is in now is perfect for him, where he knows how to delegate. He's been around the NFL long enough to just let Leftwich and Bowles literally do everything. And he is great at the oversight role and talking directly to players and motivating. And essentially, Barber said he'll go as long as he wants, but if his assistants go, you know, that's probably the end of the line. What are your thoughts there? You think that's on the money? And if you think about that, this means it could be the final year of Arians unless the Glazers cut massive checks to keep the assistants.
Well, the first point you made is an important one, Steve, is that Rondé Barber, when it comes to all things Buccaneer, it's a very informed opinion. He talks to the movers and shakers. He's tight with Arians. He talks to Light a lot. He knows what's going on inside the walls of One Buck Place. So he's got a lot of credibility for the three of us when it comes to the Buccaneers. And it's interesting that his focal point for Arians and his future is, you know, Leftwich and Bowles. I will counter that with this. Should they win another Super Bowl, and should Brady want to keep going, even if Leftwich leaves for a job, or Bowles, or maybe even both, Lee, I think Bruce Arians would be hard-pressed to call it a day. As long as Brady's going strong, they got a chance at a triple-peat. I don't think Arians can walk away. The money, he's in a great situation. Now, look, his opinions on Leftwich, they're genuine, Lee. I mean, when I went to his house for a couple of hours, he spent a long time talking about Leftwich and how much it bugs Arians that, in his opinion, Leftwich is disrespected. Leftwich doesn't get enough credit. And he made a compelling case that Leftwich does a lot more than people give him credit for, and that Arians doesn't interfere to a great extent on the offensive game plan and the in-game adjustments. But, Lee, I still think at this point he's also tied to Brady. And if Brady retires, I think that would be it for Arians. But if Brady doesn't and the Bucs are still successful, boy, Lee, it's tough for me to believe he'd walk away.
I'm in the same boat with you, Ira. I can't see him leaving the Bucs before Brady, unless, you know, health issues crop up that we don't foresee. That would be the only way. And you know what? If Leftwich really is this next wunderkind of an offensive wizard in the NFL, who would know this? The Glazers would know this. So set it up with the Glazers that Leftwich takes over after Arians leaves, if he's that great of a coach. Coaching, right. Waiting kind of thing. You know, we'll see. You know, I want to throw this out there. I brought it up. This is my only issue I had with Leftwich when he was hired. Brutal job with Josh Rosen. Now, a year later, in retrospect, was Josh Rosen just a coach killer? I mean, think of how things could have turned different. if Arians doesn't get hired, Leftwich is probably roadkill as a coach. You know, not too many quarterback coaches who fail with a first-round draft pick as a quarterback are working in the NFL. That's just facts are facts. That's just the way it is. So if Arians doesn't get hired, is Leftwich still in the NFL? Is he coaching college somewhere? Just think how careers changed with one indirect decision by the Glazer family or by Jason Light, whoever you prefer.
You know, and Steve, I don't think it's crazy to think that if Leftwich gets hired in the offseason, maybe bumps up Clyde Christensen. It's possible. There you go. So, Steve, I think that Arians-Brady tandem, I don't think that can be underestimated, especially if Brady's still playing at a high level.
It's a big unknown, and, you know, I don't know. I actually think Arians would walk away. I think he'd be smart, too. And if he was able to do a handoff to Bowles or Leftwich, he could still be involved on some level, which he's actually expressed that he wanted to do, that he would love. I asked him about that previously, and he said that he would love to be able to stay involved on some way, you know, if it came to that. So I don't know. I mean, he would have to know, Ira, that two Super Bowls and a Super Bowl as a coordinator and multiple coach of the year, he's going to the Hall of Fame, which I'm sure is what he really, really wants. Any coach would want to cement their legacy for all time.
That's a great point, Steve. If he gets that second one and he's got the two coach of the years, and Lee, he doesn't even get credit, Lee, for the 9-3 that he had with the Colts. That goes under Pagano's record. It doesn't even.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. Yeah. Arians doesn't even get credit for that. And he's still got a darn good record. If he can get a second one, you know, and of course, you know, there's no guarantees, far from it. But then he's in, you know, the Tom Coughlin category. I mean, Flores just got in with two. I think Arians would have a better resume than Tom Flores. Flores went to Seattle, and it was a disaster. When Arians was in Arizona, it certainly wasn't a disaster. He went to a conference title game. His very first year, he was 10-6. So I think Arians is driven, Lee, to some extent, by the Hall of Fame. But it ain't going to happen if he doesn't nail down a second Super Bowl. It won't happen.
I agree. Yeah, he needs that second Super Bowl. No question.
Ira, Lee wrote a very important story that I want to get to because it's, I mean, I'm not going to say I vomited, but it made my stomach a little queasy when I first heard it. But I wanted to bring up two things. One, you used the phrase triple peat. I had never heard that before. I know three peat was a big deal back when in the 80s with the Lakers, and Pat Riley actually owns the trademark of three peat. But triple peat, that's a new one. I think maybe you could trademark that, Ira.
You know, it was that last slice of pizza today that gave me a little more juice, gentlemen. Lee, check me. Nobody's ever won three straight Super Bowls. Am I correct, Mr. DeKemper?
Correct. I mean, correct. The Steelers they won back-to-back Super Bowls two different times. Patriots won back-to-back. Packers won back-to-back.
Dallas.
Lombardi days.
Yeah,
Denver.
Dallas.
Denver.
Dallas and Denver, yep. And I wanted to make one other mention, Ira, before I got to the thing that Lee wrote about and we haven't talked about yet. You know, these players not going to OTAs, you know, the nation got to see what happened to Juwan James of the lineman for the Broncos. Blew out his Achilles off-site training, and they cut him. And he lost all his money because it's a non-football injury when you're not doing training when you should be at your team facility, or could be. So. And apparently they're not going to budge. So, and these players know it's nice. You can go to Berkeley Prep, but if you you know, completely blow out a hamstring where you need surgery and you're going to be out 4 months, you know, you might get cut.
I think it puts the team in a very, very tough position. If we were talking about Tom Brady instead of this guy, the reaction might have been a little bit different. I think fans automatically tend to sympathize with the player in that kind of situation. You know, the rules are explicitly, according to the bargaining agreement, the team does have the right to do that. And when they exercise that right, sometimes it looks like cruel and unusual, and you got no sympathy for the player. But I don't know, Lee. That's a tough spot.
Players always like to say it's a business. and Broncos traded it as such. Not too many businesses are going to willingly swallow how many millions of dollars if they don't have to.
Yeah, Ira, if you don't write your columns this year, I'm not eating that 90 grand we give you.
You just made the Kemper drive off the road with that line.
You know, in all seriousness, one reason I wanted to bring up Juwan James is because maybe that reopens the door for Damar Dotson. Dotson could get his job back. James played right tackle and missed some time, and now he's going to be out. So maybe Dotson's career lives on, Ira.
You know, I was thinking the same thing, Steve and Lee. When I talked to Damar a couple of months ago, and I did my research, and I said, hey, you know, you had 8 starts. You gave up only 1 sack. Dotson goes, 0, Ira, 0. Didn't give up a sack. So I think he played pretty well. Now, we know that he's a better pass protector than a gouger in terms of a run blocker. And, of course, the Bucs are very happy that Tristan Wirfs is their right tackle. And Bucs got a keeper, to say the least, in Tristan Wirfs.
Oh, yeah.
So, Ira, here's this important story that is critical, but it's not as critical as knowing who to call when you have an emergency in your house, and that's Florida's Elite Restoration. Not just an emergency, but a disaster, a flood, fire, mold that you discover when you start cleaning out cabinets and you realize you have a situation. And it could be, of course, lightning damage that leads to something, and flood in your house from a leak. Florida's Elite Restoration, that's your first call for them to give a free assessment to you of what's going on. They can make emergency repairs. Yeah, they're licensed mold remediation specialists, and they'll work with your insurance company, most importantly, to make sure you don't get ripped off if that's the situation you're in. Florida's EliteRestoration.com. I hope your home is in good shape, Ira, for the summer season, which can be very unpredictable.
Thank you, Stevie. And, Mr. DeKemper, mold is a four-letter word, Lee, and it deserves to be. And it's a curse word in its own right. You don't mess around with it. You do not. Left unattended, a small problem, which is relatively inexpensive to fix, and Florida's Elite Restoration can handle both small and big jobs, but left unattendedly, it can easily escalate into a major project.
You get mold, you call Florida's Elite Restoration immediately. Free assessment at your home so you can really understand what's going on and what you need to do. Florida's Elite Restoration.com. Ira, Joe Tryon, we learned at rookie minicamp, he hasn't passed a physical yet, and we find out that he had knee surgery, arthroscopic knee surgery. The Bucs knew about it before they drafted him at the end of the first round, and the guy didn't play last season. So, yeah, he probably did something, you know, during training, but I don't know. That's scared me a little bit. Lee conjured up memories of J.R. Sweezy getting signed, and then all of a sudden he doesn't play or practice for a whole year, and he's walking around the media area in the stadium, you know, filling up his orange soda, sitting down, and he's wearing a floppy hat everywhere. And then, of course, you know, Bucs fans know about Daquan Bowers and his multiple knee issues before he was drafted. Does this send up any kind of red flag for you at all, Ira? Or is it just maybe the guy had some bad luck, working on some weights, and that was that?
You hope it's much ado about nothing. I mean, you hope, and it probably is. But, Lee, you got to admit, this franchise has a history of some of these things. You know, curveballs after the draft, and, of course, the Bucs swear always, we knew all about it. We knew all about it. We factored it in. Lee, that could be a reason why he was sitting there at 32. Could be a contributing reason. Maybe he goes off at 22 without that arthroscopic procedure. Maybe it's nothing, Lee, but the history of this franchise tells us there might be a little cause for concern. Now, the good news, Lee, I don't think it's going to be that big a deal if they don't get an immediate bang for the buck from Joe Tryon this fall. I don't think that's a catastrophe. I know you're feeling about it, that he could play 20 snaps on defense and contribute and give these guys a blow. I understand that. But it's not a catastrophe, Lee, if the guy doesn't contribute immediately. If I was to bet on the rookie that would have the most impact, I would take the 4th-round pick, Darden, as a punt return. I'm sticking with that. I see a spot for Darden. I don't see a spot for Hainsey, barring injury. Although I think he'll be active, Lee. I do think Hainsey will be active because of his versatility. But I don't think he's going to win a starting job. I think the only possible shot he's got is at right guard. And I don't think he wins that. Maybe he replaces Jensen in 2022. But there's something a little troubling about this Tryon situation. Something a little troubling.
I get that. But you know what? I'm going to use a Mike Florio line here. Silence invites speculation. The football coaches, it's, you know, like I always refer to as, and again, I've got a journalism degree. So when I say journalist, I'm sort of including myself in it. Journalists have a crusader gene, which I never did. I just wanted to write sports, and I was quite happy with that. I didn't want to change the world. I had no desire to change the world. But journalists have this crusader gene. It's ingrained in them. They got to change the world. They hunt for things to fix when there's nothing broken. And with coaches, football coaches, especially in the NFL, they're just paranoid about injuries, beyond paranoid about injuries. I still say there's classified intelligence of UFOs that have a better chance of seeing the light of day than any kind of injury information in the NFL. Coaches are beyond paranoid about injuries. It's like their careers will be killed if someone knows a guy's got a hangnail or something. And so, and even though it may be a minor injury, they got to cover it up. And they got to act, they got to act dumb about it. And guess what happens? Silence invites speculation. So therefore, you got the J.R. Sweezy comparison. Or you've got the left guard that the Bucks signed, all broke from the state.
Carl Nix.
You have all this speculation. When there doesn't need to be any speculation, if you're just a little bit open about it. So if the Bucks get PO'd that we're making connections to Sweezy or other things, that's your fault, guys. The only thing you got to say is, oh no, you know, Tyron has an issue with the knee. Be open about it. Case closed. No one's ever talking about it. But because you got to be paranoid, like the Manhattan Project, silence invites speculation. So don't come at journalists, reporters, bloggers, whatever you want to call it, for connecting dots when you could have prevented that from happening in the first place by being open and frank and honest.
Ira, it was a little stunning that, you know, considering on draft night in the wrap-up news conferences, nobody at, you know, Arians or Jason Light didn't say, yeah, you know, we can't wait to get him back on the field. Hopefully it'll be by June. He had a little knee cleanup, blah, blah, blah.
You can stop right there. That's exactly right. On that Thursday night wrap-up, first-round pick, you mentioned it in passing. Like, it's no big deal. We're on top of it. We know about it. And then, you know what, Isbits? Then it's not a story.
Meanwhile, before the practice, Tryon himself did his own little news conference before the rookie mini camp practice. And of course there was no mention of his knee because nobody knew about it. So then it was like, oh, he's not there, by the way.
The J.R. Sweezy thing, I got to bring this up again. The J.R. Sweezy thing, what blew it out of proportion was, you know, even though, you know, supposedly he blew his back out pumping weights after he was signed. Now, I always thought it was BS that people were blaming, like, oh, he didn't do any research. That is so beyond reckless, not to give a guy a physical before you sign him. I can't imagine Light would have kept his job if that was actually the case. But you know what? When Sweezy, time after time after time, was asked about his injury for a year, refused to even mention it. He asked about his back injury, he'd shut the interview down. He wouldn't even talk about it, wouldn't even address it, like it never happened. And the Bucks were the same way. Well, if this was so minor, what were you hiding? Cover-up is worse than the crime. Now, back in the Nixon's days, and Nixon would have came right out and said, you know what, McGovern had some real sleazy guys working for him, and we were tailing these guys because we think they might have been infiltrated by the Russians. No problem. Instead, it blew up his entire administration. The cover-up is worse than the crime. If it was this minor as they claim it is afterwards, well, what are you hiding it for? Come on.
Yeah, Ira, remember that. Don't put tater tots in your pocket. Just eat them out in the open. It's okay. You can snag a few.
have you ever seen anybody that that eats more stuff off somebody else's plate than I do, Steve? Have you?
Oh, you're a freaking human seagull when there's fries around.
Ira, you know, not anybody over 5 years old. Under 5 years old, sure, but not over five. Not over five.
You know, people go to the beach, they have chips, and you see these birds hopping from freaking picnic table to picnic table. That's Ira when fries are out and about.
Ira, this is an important question, in all seriousness, about Joe Tryon and this situation. And I don't know the answer. It's a question that I'd put it on my list of questions. If we ever get back to the NFL owners' meetings, if they ever happen again, I'm going to ask some people who would give me straight answers off the record to understand the process. But Joe Tryon, if he got injured, let's just say he injured his back April 15th and needed, he injured his knee April 15th and needed surgery. Are we to believe that he would let the NFL know, the various teams know that that happened? I don't think the Bucs knew, because why would Joe Tryon tell anybody? Is there some sort of obligation that he has to say, hey, guys, I'm a little messed up, so you might not want to draft me in the first round? I don't know why that would happen. So it is very possible, as I sit here right now, that the Bucs did not know that he needed this knee surgery. Do you agree with that, and what do you think?
Well, it's also important to note how unusual the draft process was this year in terms of combine. And you let your own medical people check out the guy, and you might want to do a late in person, you know, look at the guy. And Lee, you can't ignore how unusual this year is in terms of getting medical updates on these prospects. It's a year like no other.
Yeah, what do we hear throughout the draft process? The biggest concern with GMs was medical. Because it was so inconsistent, getting medical records, getting medical info. Now that we find out that, you know, Tryon's got some sort of knee issue, and you want to, you know, feel free to speculate how major that is or minor, feel free, because we don't have the information.
And I bring it up in that way because, you know, again, in an effort to be fair and look at every possible side, maybe the Bucks, Jason Light and Bruce Arians, maybe they didn't know when they drafted him on that Thursday night news conference that he had this knee issue. And maybe they didn't find out till after, and that's that. So it is interesting. I don't know what the obligation is. And just take any draft pick. Just say it's Kyle Trask. If he injures his wrist 10 days before the draft, after he's already thrown for everybody, and he was, you know, climbing a rope in a gym somewhere, and maybe he strained a ligament, is he obligated to say that's what happened to him? I don't really know, Ira, how that works in the NFL. Obviously, good agents want to be open with their teams. Otherwise, teams aren't going to want to work with them and make deals in the same kind of way. But it's interesting if that kind of stuff gets covered up. How many times in a draft out of, you know, 100 guys in the first three rounds, do three or four come in with mysterious injuries? Does your experience tell you anything about that, Ira?
Well, the one thing we can say definitively is that Jason Light is defiant that the Bucs were fully aware about the Tryon situation.
Bruce Arians, you mean? Bruce Arians.
He didn't equivocate about it. He said, we knew. Bruce Arians, you give him the benefit of the doubt, or is he covering his butt? I think you could make a case for both sides, but the Bucs swear they were on top of this. Steve, you make an interesting point. Late in the process, guy gets injured. Is he obligated to tell the team? Well, from a player perspective, you might be costing yourself money. You might drop from the first round to the third if word gets out. So it's interesting. I'm going to take Arians at his word, Lee, until I hear differently.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you, Ira. Number one, the entire Bucs organization, I believe, the last couple of years have earned the benefit of the doubt in just about anything. I mean, they turned around a garbage franchise, and if people don't like them, I'm sorry. They were garbage. I'm just being honest, brutally honest. They turned around a garbage franchise and won a Super Bowl. So they deserve to have the benefit of the doubt, in my eyes. We'll see about Tryon. You know, if he is on the field, even for a few plays, week one, then that tells me there was no issue, or the issue was minor, like they claim.
Car or truck shopping today, go to BillCurryFord.com. BillCurryFord.com. We've said it 10,000 times. Don't blow it. GM Sean Sullivan is your personal friend in the business. He's going to help you online, by phone, at the dealership. Bill Curry Ford, a mile north of Raymond James Stadium. BillCurryFord.com. Ask for that Ira Kaufman discount. It's a good one. All right, Lee, before we get out of here, you wrote something about bye weeks and some stats and data on who wins on bye weeks. You know, I'm not a big believer in which bye weeks matter, but what'd you find and what should we know?
Well, I know Ira and I both talked about bye weeks on a previous podcast, and I've always been of the belief later is better than earlier because you'll be fresher when the real games start in January and February. And Ira kind of went along with Arians, like, oh, it's perfect to have a mid-season bye. Well, the last four seasons, the team that won the Super Bowl had a bye week at week 10 or later. And to add ammunition to that, not since 2012 has a team with a bye week in the first half of the season won the Super Bowl. I always say I don't believe in coincidences. That's not a coincidence. That's a trend. For example, I'll just reel it off here. 2017, Eagles had a bye week in week 10. 2018, the Patriots, week 11 bye week. 2019, the Chiefs, week 12 bye week. 2020, the Bucks, week 13. Now, a lot of people are making the connection. Okay, who has a bye week on week 14 for this year? But I just think it's very telling that not since 2012 has a team that won the Super Bowl had a bye week in the first half of the season.
Well, the first thing I would say, Steve, is when DeKemper does a deep dive into research, I get nervous. I get nervous. That's good work, Lee. That's good work. I don't want an early bye week, but I like the mid-season bye week, but I don't like an early bye week. I believe, Steve, correct me here, but I think the first bye week is week 6 this year, I think, which is a little bit unusual. It's a little bit unusual. But the Bucs don't have a bye week in week 6 or week 7. They have a mid-season bye week, which I like. And so does Light, and so does Arians, and I assume so do the Glazers. I haven't heard anything differently. But I'm with Lee. I don't want that first early bye week, as early as you can get it. I think that's a disadvantage. We know how it worked out for the Bucks last year. We do. And when the schedule came out, Lee, we all said, wait a minute. They got to play all these games, 12 straight games. Lee, that's a grinder. But, of course, it's 7-5. They needed a breather, and it all worked out. They didn't lose again. I like midseason. I'm not getting off that, Lee. I like midseason. But I don't like early, but midseason's not early, so I'm sticking with it. Midseason, schedule, very, very favorable for the 2021 Bucks.
Despite the recent trend.
Well, midseason, you know, it's not early, Lee. It's not early. Week 9.
You know, I got to say this also. It's about management. They won the Super Bowl last year. They figured it out, but I think Arians has got to find a way to cut some of these guys' snaps. He doesn't like to take players off the field when the game is out of reach. You know, and Lavonte David played all these snaps last year, and there were a good handful of games, including late in the season against Atlanta. The guy played 100% of the snaps. The Bucks were blowing him out late. He just won't get these guys off the field, and I think it's something that Arians might want to figure out and not test fate anymore when you've got an older roster who is coming off that long season. You know, you can shave a lot of snaps if you're willing to take guys off the field when the game is a blowout. Now, JPP might not like getting 2.5 fewer sacks because he's not feasting in the fourth quarter, but at some point, you know, you got to do the smart thing for the team.
And you're developing young players in the process, Steve, also, while you do that. Yeah.
Steve, you and I were brought up two things. Michael Lombardi on his podcast was talking about the effect of a 17-game season. He says, if you think about it, that's 5 plays a game. So you rest guys 5 plays a game. That will make up for the snaps in a 17-game season. So he said if the smart coaches, if coaches are smart and proactive, they'll find a way to shave 5 snaps off guys' workload every game. And that's Steve just brought that up. So it's very interesting you brought that up, Steve. I'm glad you did. The last one, I want Ira's reaction to this. Ira, when Brady, the same podcast, the Watch podcast, we all know everybody that listens to a Watch podcast. I never knew there was such a thing, but hey, it takes all kinds. In that Watch podcast, Brady confessed that midway through the season, he was struggling with Arians' playbook. He was really struggling. And I asked Arians about that last week, and he said, yep, oh yeah, he was struggling. Ira, what's that tell you about Brady? I mean, to me, it's almost unfathomable that any coach would put a cornerback on the field if he didn't know the playbook. You hear that about rookies. Oh, is he ready? Does he know the playbook? You hear that about new backups. You hear that a lot. And it's to me, it's almost unfathomable that you would put a quarterback on the field that doesn't know the playbook. But on top of that, Brady found ways to win. And to me, that's something you would think of with a Tom Seaver or a Bob Gibson or Michael Jordan or Ray Lewis. That these guys may not be at their peak, but they use guile. They use smarts. They use guts. They find a way to win. And Brady was finding a way to win, whether it was the little things, telling the receivers, keep pumping your arm, or going into the offensive line meeting room and say, guys, I need 2.3 seconds, and this is how you do it. Brady used his experience, his wit, his smarts. He found ways to win, to overcome his inability with the playbook. That is just mind-blowing to me, what Brady was doing, even though he didn't know the playbook. And when he did know the playbook, we saw what happened. That offense exploded. But I want your feedback on that, what that means.
Well, that's a good baseball equivalent, Lee, in terms of the great pitchers. They don't have their best stuff on a given day, so they win 4-3 or 5-4 instead of 2-1. But they win. And once their team gets the lead, it's over. And that's what we saw from Brady. What I found interesting, Steve, and I can't quite fathom this one, is if Brady was struggling assimilating what Leftwich and Arians wanted with what he wanted, Steve, wouldn't that show up more in the first and second quarter of the season when they were 6-2 at the midpoint rather than the third quarter that Brady did not play well in the third quarter of the season? He did not. And he threw a lot of picks in those 4 games, and they lost 3 of them, and he had a rough time of it. Now, he certainly straightened out, but Steve, why would it crop up in the third quarter rather than the first half of the season? I'm a little perplexed on that one.
Ira, I'll tell you why I can't answer it, because I don't believe the entire premise being sold to us about the playbook. So I don't believe any of it for a minute that he didn't really grasp the whole playbook until after the Chiefs game. I just don't believe it. So you count me out. I don't buy it. First few games, 4 games, sure, but the evidence is on the field. They rolled the Packers, put up 30-plus points on offense. They rolled the Raiders the next week. What did they put up, 45 or so? The offense was humming, and yes, they had some a couple of tough days in there, but I just don't buy it. So I can't believe it. I mean, yeah, maybe he didn't know it, or there were little nuances that he got more familiar with, but overall, I just don't buy it. He had one of the best seasons of his career, Tom Brady did. So I just don't buy it.
You know what I buy? This podcast, people. I buy this podcast. There's a reason why we are number one, and we are going to continue. We don't falter, Lee. We don't falter. Lee, even when we don't have our best stuff, we still come up with a quality podcast. How do you like that?
You find a way to get the guy to hit a ground ball.
All right, Ari. You're the Tom Brady of podcasters, which is what you're telling us. Get out of here. Relax. Get to 10, Ira. Go from 9 to 10, and we'll be back later this week. Thanks for listening to the Ira Kaufman podcast. If you made it this far, give us a review on your podcast platform. If you're listening on one, Apple Podcasts, Podbean, wherever, it's appreciated. Ira looks at them and hey, why not? You can have your say as well. Thanks again. The Ira Kaufman podcast is presented by Bill Curry Ford, Florida's elite restoration and Big Storm Beer.